Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're here in Orlando, Florida. We are at the ASI International Convention, and we're recording another series of programs with people literally from all over the world who are making a difference in communities. If you're wondering about ASI, it is a Seventh-day Adventist organization. It features people from the business world, the healthcare communities, the educational realm, people throughout the world that are seeking to make a difference by helping in their communities. Yes, often an undergirding spiritual focus in these ministries and organizations, but also a strong desire to help people in practical ways. We're featuring in our first segment today a very exciting group of individuals. They call themselves Strong Tower Radio, and I'm excited because you're one of our ministry partners, if you will.
Yes.
Jelaine, you are the head of PR for Strong Tower Radio, and if I'm not mistaken, you air our weekly American Indian Alaskan Native Living radio show.
Right, we do. And we have stations in Illinois as well as in Michigan, so we have two different time frames, but Eastern Time, you're on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock, and then Mondays at 1 o'clock, and this is all in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So we know we run into people say, oh, we listen to American Indian and Alaska Native Living on Strong Tower Radio. So whether you're a Native listener or you're a listener from a different background and you're tuning in on Strong Tower, we're glad you're joining us. We've got folks joining us on Native Voice One Radio Network, folks on Family First Radio Network. We've got folks on Life Talk Radio. So we go out on a number of networks, but we're glad to have folks like you, some of our partner networks, Dene Adventist Radio, also airing our programming. We featured them in an earlier episode. So, Jelaine, I think it's fascinating for folks to hear about radio stations and radio networks. There's tribes, sometimes maybe a smaller tribe that doesn't have a radio presence. Maybe they're wondering about getting a radio license. I know groups of people and communities often say, hey, we want to see more content on our radio waves for our community. Tell us a little bit about the story of Strong Tower Radio, because you've been with the network from its inception, am I right?
Yes, yes. Our president is David Bolduc, who was always fascinated with radio, lived in Illinois, so he did stuff with Three Angels Broadcasting Network. And in 07, the FCC was giving out radio frequencies. Mm. And so he was looking for something in that area, and there wasn't anything. His wife's from the Cadillac, Michigan area where we're located. So he looked up there, and there was one available. So in just 3 weeks' time, he had to get a board, he had to get a bylaws, you know, he had to get everything and then apply for this. And he'd asked me to be on it. So yes, from the very beginning, I've been with radio. See, people don't understand. They think they can just get a radio station. Well, you can if somebody wants to sell one.
Hmm.
But can't just go get a new radio station, radio frequency. And so when we did, the FCC gives you a construction permit. It's usually about 3 years.
Hmm.
So it took us 2 years to get actually on the air by the time we got everything together. And Strong Tower Radio, that was one of the things in the very beginning, we needed a tagline.
Okay.
And so one of the board members was having his devotional, and he saw Proverbs 18:10 that says, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe.
Hmm.
And then our logo, we have a logo, and it's like a medieval tower, because everybody sees that tower and they know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath our actual tagline, that's the name of our station, tagline is where God's character is proclaimed.
Okay, so you're sitting across from me. Folks can't see it because we're on radio. And you've got this very attractive top that is embroidered, Strong Tower Radio. There's a tower beside it and that tagline, where God's character is proclaimed. So I'm assuming that as the director of PR or head of PR for the network, you maybe have more than one of these shirts?
Oh, yes. Almost everything I own that I wear has Strong Tower Radio.
Okay.
And even on my car. And even here at this convention, I rented a car. I brought my magnets. And
okay.
It's got this Strong Tower Radio.
I love it. So you definitely have the Strong Tower Radio vision. Now, you are a network, so it's more than just a single station in Cadillac, right?
Yes, and that was amazing because, I mean, I'm looking at the map, little old Cadillac, Michigan, figured that's what we were doing. Well, God had other plans. So within a year or two, he gave us a station up in the Upper Peninsula. And I can remember driving in Cadillac, and whenever I'm driving, I'm always talking to God. And I can remember saying, Lord, all the people are down in southeastern Michigan, the Flint, Detroit area. Why aren't you giving us something up in the Upper Peninsula?
Uh-huh.
Immediately, I was convicted. And so I can remember grabbing onto my steering wheel and saying, I'm sorry, Lord. Those people need to know about Jesus, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what I heard him say, not audibly, but just like in my head, was, let me see what you do with what I give you. And so now, in 2025, we have 25 stations.
25 stations. And like you said, throughout Michigan into Illinois. What to me is remarkable, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, because we go out on a mix of family-based networks, Christian networks, secular networks, when I offer Christian content, it's a sensitive thing in Indian country because I've been around long enough, and I have talked with enough people. Some people, they just have warm feelings. I'm speaking of First Nation peoples. We talk about Christian things. They relate to that. There have been so many things that have happened on this continent that have been attached to the name of Christianity that I think you and I would both say don't represent the God that we serve. And so with that background, what I appreciate about many of the ministries here, even though they may have a Christian focus or that may be kind of their motive for operation like your network, what I hear you doing by featuring shows like American Indian and Alaska Native Living, that's more of a health theme show, I hear your network saying, we want to impact our communities. We want to help our communities. And yes, we want to share what we feel gives us hope and meaning spiritually. But your programming is much broader than that. So give us an idea about that.
Well, we do children's programming.
Mm-hmm.
We have health programs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we do sermons. And things like this sometimes, you know, will come in just to introduce people to different concepts.
Okay.
And you know, of course, being a Christian radio station, it's based more on Christian themes.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said you need to help people where they are right now. And that's what we want to do. And so many people don't have any hope nowadays.
No, if you were to talk about deficits or lacks, I mean, hope seems to be in scarce supply in many places. It's not limited to any one group of people. Things can look pretty bleak. And even if the world doesn't look that bad to you in general, I mean, that may be hard to imagine why someone would think it doesn't look all that bad when you look at a lot of the things happening. But someone is more optimistic in their outlook, and yet things happen to them in their own life. I know you feature a lot of content, it seems like, from my understanding of your network, that does focus on relationships. Is it just kind of spiritual relationships, or are you interested in human relationships when you're kind of looking at programming?
Well, there is one program, it's called CPR, and it's about relationships, but it's also in the workplace, at home. Not just religious, you know, church or something. And that's a great program that helps people to be better at having relationships. And that's only a 15-minute program. You get a half an hour. No, you get a whole hour. I'm sorry.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were cutting out half of the show.
No, you get a whole hour.
Okay. So I love the concept of saying, let's see where we can make an impact in our communities, putting out a variety of different programs. Let's talk just for a minute. If someone says, you know, today there's all kinds of podcast sites. I mean, you can choose anything you want. Let me just tell you my position. One of the things I like about conventional radio stations is you have someone mindfully looking at a mix of programs and content to try to meet the needs of your community. You may not relate to all those things, but often, just like we're here at this convention, we're being exposed to different people doing different things that I've never heard about. Similarly, a radio station can do that for you. What other reasons would you say someone should, in the case of Strong Tower Radio, why should someone listen to one of your stations when they say, well, I can just go to any kind of podcast site and just listen to the stuff I want to listen to?
Well, one thing, though, about radio, they've done a survey recently within the last couple of years, 92% of people still listen to radio, you know. And even though we have, like, the podcast, not everybody can take their phone while they're driving, but they have a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And at work, you can have your computer and you can have a radio going.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to meet people's needs. And like I said, the biggest thing is giving them hope, because this world is terrible. And I can remember when we first started airing your program, I happened to have a Gospel Melodies music program, and you come on right after that. Well, and I would always want to hear it, even though I produced it, I wanted to listen to it. How did it sound coming over the radio? And so your program would come on, and I'd listen for a few minutes, but I wasn't interested. Anyways, I'm just like, and one day I left it on, and I'm like, wow, this is a really good program. You know, so just telling people, just, you know, when you're listening to something, you really don't like it, or there's, don't stop, because your program is wonderful, I think, especially the health emphasis for everybody. And, but we have the, like the children's programming. And even though we say it's children's from noon to 1 o'clock, we have two programs, 2 half-hour programs. They're stories. Everybody loves stories. It doesn't matter how old you are.
No, you got it. I think story is one of the things that can powerfully draw people in. And I love that concept. So you got programs for kids, you got health programs, you got programs for relationships. If someone wants to check out the programming of Strong Tower Radio, how do they go about doing that?
And we do have an app. So you can type in strongtowerradio.org. You'll be able to download the app. And then a very quick way, though, to look up, instead of typing Strong Tower Radio, is str.fm. That's like a speed dial, but it takes you to our website.
Okay. Let me see if I can get this down. I don't like to confuse people. So even though there's a shorter way and a longer way, sometimes the longer way will stick better. So I'm going to go with that. Are you okay with me doing that?
StrongTowerRadio.org.
Okay. So if I can remember Strong Tower Radio, a strong tower. I love that imagery. And you may or may not know this, but there's a famous Native American health study that was called the Strong Heart Study.
Oh.
Okay. So when I heard your network name, I said, well, is this a Native network? Or okay, but Strong Tower Radio, and it's .org?
Yep.
Okay, so if I remember that, then I can just go online to that website, and I can listen live to programming right there.
Yes, stream.
Or you'll actually connect me to a place where I can download an app. There's a link right on that website.
You can look up all the radio stations. I mean, 25 radio stations, they're different frequencies, but, which is funny, though, like where we are, Cadillac 91.9, also in southern Michigan is a 91.9 Strong Tower Radio.
Okay, okay. So if someone says, hey, I'm in Michigan, Illinois, I'd like to check out this programming, and simply go, first of all, to the website, look at some of the different station options that are there, some of the call letters and the frequencies, and they can go ahead and listen to your show. Well, our time has just about slipped away for this segment. Before we leave, Jelaine, if someone says, why, I mean, I'm listening already on a network, why try to add another to my listening options? Why would you say they should at least check out Strong Tower Radio?
Well, if you want to have hope in your life, I mean, you like stories, that's good. The health programs, we have sermons that just really touch people's lives. And the important thing about radio, you listen to radio, support that radio station, because I don't know about others, but I know our radio station, no commercials, no churches, you know, sponsoring us, and just listen to the radio and support it financially and with your prayers.
Thank you so much. Jelaine Fenner, head of PR for Strong Tower Radio. Thanks for pulling away and joining us today.
Okay, you're welcome.
We're going to be back with more on today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Some encouraging content, practical things you can do from a group that's making a difference with health worldwide. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at aianl.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, aianl.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. As I promised as we stepped away into the break that I've got another amazing guest here in front of me. Right now I'm sitting across from Joy Kaufman. She is the founder and executive director of an organization that simply calls itself Farm Stew. Joy, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. DeRose. It's a privilege.
You and some of your team have been on the show before. I mean, we've been airing American Indian and Alaska Native Living for some, 23 years. So I know it hasn't been just yesterday that we've featured your show. But Farm Stew, for some folks, they've heard about your international work. For other folks, are thinking, Farm Stew, is this a cooking channel or what is this? Tell us about Farm Stew.
Right. Well, we love people asking that question and wondering because, first of all, everybody loves food that comes straight from a farm. And when you cook it up in a stew, you know it's made with love, right? And it's going to be nourishing and helping people have an abundant life. And that's actually what we're trying to do. But Farm Stew is also an acronym. And it's what we call a powerful 8-ingredient recipe. There's 8 letters. And it's a recipe for abundant life. And how many of us want abundant life? I think all your listeners would probably agree.
You got that nailed. I really like mnemonics. I mean, some people think they're kind of gimmicky, but they really can help people remember things. And you've been using a really very formalized curriculum. You're sitting across from me. Is this your curriculum book that you've got in front of you?
Yes, we have the 3rd edition of our lifestyle curriculum, and it's actually 500 pages. You're looking at it. Your eyes are getting big. And
yeah, I'm looking. This is not like something that somebody just did, you know, one night when they couldn't sleep.
No, this is a labor of love. And what's so exciting is this is our 10th anniversary. So we have been going out, working with local people in villages and communities around the world now for a decade, proving the fact that the information that we have to share can absolutely transform people's lives.
Now, when people talk about proving things and, you know, they're demonstrating this, you know, I deal with different groups of people. I'll just be honest with you. Some are academic types, and when they say that they've really done some rigorous things, they've looked at things. Other folks, they've proven something because they shared it with someone that seemed to help them. Now, you are someone, though, that has some pretty solid scientific credentials. Tell us a little bit about your background so we can know how to evaluate how you've checked this stuff out.
if there's some proof in the pudding, right? So, yes, I actually have my undergrad in nutrition with a concentration in international development from Virginia Tech, and did my master's in public health from Johns Hopkins University in international health as well. And then worked for the U.S. federal government, HHS, in Washington, D.C. for about 7 years prior to doing the real health and human services as a stay-at-home mom for a decade plus.
Now, that is exciting. So you've got the whole range of things from domestic to international. PharmStew has really had that international flavor from the beginning. Am I right?
You are correct. Yes, I was sent as a volunteer to serve in USAID's project called Farmer to Farmer. Back in 2015, and I was sent to Uganda, Eastern Uganda, as a nutritionist, and that's where my world was turned upside down in a wonderful way. And I feel like I was called to launch this work because I was just there for a three-week volunteer program. But the information that I was sharing with families there, their reaction was so warm and inviting, and they were very excited about the simple, practical, hands-on ideas that they could implement in their own home, lead to better health for their children and the whole family. And I felt impressed that I was supposed to hire the local people. And so I was working at a county health department at the time back in Illinois and making a little bit of money. So I started sharing that with five people. Now we have hundreds of trainers in 20 some countries around the world. And they're all implementing what I want to share with your listening audience today.
You definitely have our interest. Before we get into that, I know you don't have an exhaustive list in front of you, but give us a feel for some of the countries where you have actually implemented this program.
Yeah, so South Sudan, Uganda, Zambia, Zimbabwe. Let's see, we've started in West Africa now, so Burkina Faso, Senegal, Burundi, those are all French-speaking countries. And then we moved over to Cuba, Panama, Nicaragua, Bolivia. We've been doing now some e-learning, which I'm excited to tell your audience about because anybody can take this now anywhere in the world.
You're getting us excited here. You're getting us excited.
So, yeah, and then also the Philippines. And the Philippines has now spawned a group in Vietnam.
Wow.
It's really our hope and prayer also that people in the United States can actually take this information and start it in their own homes, their own communities as well.
So I know we've got a lot of great tribal programs throughout the country. You talk about Indian nations, not just here in the U.S., but into Canada, out in, you know, Native Hawaiians, Native Alaskans. So we've got folks that have great cultural traditions and many excellent programs, but you're bringing a little bit different approach, a little bit different perspective. It resonates with a lot of things that indigenous peoples have valued throughout history. And I think you've been finding that, right, as you've traveled throughout the world?
Absolutely. And in fact, I was so excited when you invited me to this program today because where we've been going, when we started in Africa, it's quite relevant to huge portions of many populations in Africa. But when you move into Latin America, for example, in Panama, we're actually working with an indigenous people. It's an area called the Comarca, and it's an indigenous people group, and it's like spreading like wildfire amongst their community. And then also in the Philippines, we're working with IP groups up in the mountains in the Philippines.
Wow.
So it's really been embraced, and it's just simple information. But then, you know, every culture is so rich with its traditions that they adopt it in their own way. And that's what we want. It's not just like a stew. There's not one kind of stew. Everyone puts their little different flavors, different spices. So that's the same way with PharmStew.
It's a beautiful analogy, but we now want to know what PharmStew stands for. You said it's an acronym or memory device. What does it stand for?
So we start with fruitful farming, because many of the people around the world are farming, but it's not as productive as it could be.
Wow.
So we teach simple techniques to work with the soil, enriching the soil, making it a very fruitful farming. Then we have A, stands for positive attitude. So we know attitude, choice, and how we think. I know you speak a lot about that, Dr. DeRozan. It's so critical to changing the course of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have refreshing rest. Rest, that's so important.
Don't tempt me in the middle of a show.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'll keep you awake here. Then we also have nutritious meals. So the M stands for meals, and that spells farm.
Uh-huh.
And then stew. We have proper sanitation. The sanitation cleanliness is next to godliness. We know health and well-being is, you know, so critical. Hand washing, for example. So many of us don't wash our hands properly. Even in this country, 9 out of 10 people don't wash their hands properly. By observational research in bathrooms, people watching them, we can prevent about 80% of illnesses just with proper hand washing.
It's amazing sanitation. Stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Scary, too, if we don't do it. Then the T stands for wise temperance. So really avoiding addictive patterns and things that would just drain our money and drain our life and destroy our relationships. I saw your theme is healthy relationships, financial health, and more. So temperance is key to that. Secondly, also on that theme is profitable enterprise. Really helping people think differently about their money, their relationship with others, their relationship with debt, and how to save and then start small businesses that can help people have profitable enterprise.
So that E, that's one that's kind of surprising, I think, to a lot of people, isn't it? Because you think health, and just like when we feature things on financial health, some people don't make that connection. Is that a harder one for folks to grab onto when you're giving health presentations?
You know, it's funny that you say that because the E was the last letter that I felt like came to me about farm stew. Like, I really do believe this acronym was a gift from God. But I didn't have the E. And the E came to me from a friend who ran a program. She's a social worker, and she saw the need for the letter E, enterprise. But when she said it, I knew it was right because I had a professor at Johns Hopkins who, his name was Vicente Navarro. He was this, like, radical, I think, Venezuelan guy or something, Latin American guy. And unlike most of my professors, which were medical doctors, such as yourself, he was an economist. And he said that the best public health intervention anywhere was creating jobs.
Wow.
And, of course, that probably irritated the doctors. But he had a point, because when people have their economic feet under them, they can make wise decisions about their family, and they don't need all the social services and, you know, things that are sometimes creating dependency and sometimes actually reducing people's health and well-being.
This is an amazing concept, amazing concept. We've gotten through farm, S-T-E, and then there's a W at the end. What does that stand for?
The W is for safe water. And we know, everybody knows they need water, and but they may not know how much they need to drink, how frequently they need to drink it, and particularly in some situations, how to purify that water in order to make it safe, and then also how to use that water both internally and externally to improve your health and well-being.
Now, this is one we've really got to drill down on because, you know, it's one thing to talk about purifying water in the U.S., at least in many circles. But in some places, whether it's here in the U.S., maybe a remote reservation, whether it's internationally, that's a whole other story, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been hearing stories about the, you know, Southwest and, man, a lot of wells going dry and that kind of thing, or maybe bringing up bad water. We can help.
We've got to talk more about this Farm Stew acronym. Can you stay by?
Absolutely.
We do have to step away just briefly. I'm Dr. David DeRose. I'm interviewing Joy Kaufman. Got some exciting practical stuff, stuff that you want to implement. You want to get the resources too, whether you're a tribal health worker, whether you just care about your family, your community. Don't go away. We'll be back with more right after this.
American Indian and Alaskan Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. It is an exciting venue that we're in. It's a live venue. You can tell by the ambient noise likely in the background. Joy Kaufman, MPH, sitting across from me. She is the founder and executive director of Farm Stew. If you're just joining us, Farm Stew is an acronym. It's a mnemonic. It talks basically, what I heard you saying, Joy, in our last segment, is basically talks about a comprehensive pattern for healthy living. Have I got the general idea?
Absolutely. We call it a recipe for abundant life.
I love it. You got a manual in front of you here, and between the two of us, you're telling me it's 500 pages. I didn't double check, but it's a tome. And someone can actually access many of the modules in this, or how does that work? There's a lot of electronic resources available?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is just farmstew.org. And you can go on there and discover our curriculum. And there's actually, you know, a short version of it right online. And then there's also e-learning classes that people can sign up for. There's going to be live cohorts and even moderated sessions. And there's also information on YouTube and that kind of thing, just at farmstew.org.
So let me just ask this question right out of the box, because when people start hearing about these educational options online and live sessions and coaching, usually there's a price that goes along with this. Is this kind of a prohibitive cost for many tribes and individuals?
Honestly, our mission is to share this recipe of abundant life throughout the world. And so we make it available free.
Wow. So you guys, though, have to keep paying the bills.
We do. We are setting up a program where, in some cases, if people want to get a certificate to prove that they are a Farm Stew planter, they can pay for their certificate because we feel like they're going to go do something with it valuable in their community. But honestly, we've been blessed. A lot of people have helped support this. They believe in what we're accomplishing. And they've seen in particular areas, like you were asking earlier about the proof that this works. Just take, for example, malnutrition. Mm-hmm. We've gone in places where in our baseline assessment, we've found 30% of the children in certain communities, say, I'm thinking of Burkina Faso right now, 30% of the kids were severely or moderately malnourished.
Wow.
As indicated by their mid-upper arm circumference.
Uh-huh.
And it's an international measurement. And we were able to move that down to like 2-3%.
Wow.
So
over what time frame?
It was over a year and a half.
Wow. But that is a really pretty concentrated short time frame to make such a big impact.
It is literally putting meat on the bones of these children. And You know, and then you have other children in other parts of the world. Maybe they're struggling with obesity, or maybe the adults are struggling with obesity. The same advice that we give around health and well-being, it can help people with chronic diseases and obesity, as it can help with malnutrition on the undernutrition side that we encounter in some places.
Now, to a lot of people, this is mind-boggling. How can the same program help one person lose weight and another person gain weight? But that's really what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. It's actually been really exciting because the whole food plant-based diet that we suggest, that where it's not exclusively plant-based, we don't say, you know, don't give a malnourished children an egg or even a fish in some cases, but eating whole foods and plant-based, we really believe it works, and we've seen it work. And, you know, a lot of people hear the word whole foods and they don't really know what that means. Mm-hmm. They might even in America think of the grocery store Whole Foods, which is quite expensive.
Okay, fair enough.
Cost prohibitive for a lot of people. But we actually look at, particularly grains are often the food that is processed most extremely, to where people eat only white grain or white flour, whether it's corn flour or wheat flour or some other grain, and they've lost the most nutritious parts.
Hmm.
The whole grain has a bran coat, which is usually like a brown color. Sometimes in rice, it's even red or black.
Hmm.
And then there's also the germ of the seed. So those three parts in one seed are essential if you're going to plant it in the soil. You would never strip off the cover
or the germ.
And think it was going to grow in the soil. It's also essential for our health and well-being. And so we train people on what does that really look like to eat a whole food plant-based diet. And really, the more natural, the better. We believe the Creator, God, designed things in the best way. And that generally speaking, when we as humans manipulate that, it's not generally for our good. It's generally for a profit motive that ends up taking our money and our health at the same time.
Now, the other thing that to me is fascinating about what you're doing, if I understand your mission, how you operate, is a lot of people say, well, sure, you can address malnutrition if you have enough money, enough funding, just bring all this food into a community. But I understand your program is actually working with indigenous peoples, training them to grow their own food and cook in healthier ways. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. And we don't hand things out. I mean, otherwise we couldn't make this available so generously. It's not a handout. It's an education program, a training, comprehensive training, lifestyle program. And really, one of the foundational things is in the enterprise lessons, really teaching people to think differently about money. We have a whole, it's a study, a 9-part study in the enterprise module that's called the Money Map. And it's taking people on a journey with the concept of finances, helping them understand, first of all, that work is actually a blessing. It's not a curse. Work is how we make our lives meaningful and full and fruitful. And then looking at the question of ownership, who owns everything? We believe we are stewards, not owners of our things. And therefore, the resources that are put in our hands, we need to steward them by differentiating between our needs and our wants.
Okay.
And really controlling our spending, avoiding debt, getting out of debt, having the honesty and the integrity to have positive, meaningful interactions around financial things with people where we keep our integrity intact. And in so doing all of that, we can leave a legacy to our children and even our grandchildren.
So folks are thinking, okay, I'm sold on this. I'm going to farmstew.org. I want to look at some of these learning modules. If they really related to what you just shared about the enterprise component, can I actually navigate on Farmstew and say, here, there's some videos on enterprise? Is that how it works?
You know, we're continuing to increase our capacity with the resources we can share. Right now, it would be part of the overall e-learning program.
Okay.
So you would just click on like discover our curriculum and be able to sign up. And then within the e-learning, you could navigate through that. But you're giving me a good idea.
Okay.
We actually did a webinar recently in partnership with Crown Financial, which is an organization that specializes in financial enterprise. So you could find that on YouTube. It's a webinar called Money Matters.
Money Matters.
Yeah.
And look for Joy Kaufman or Farm Stew.
Yes.
tell us some more, because, you know, folks are saying, okay, I think I can relate to this. What other practical things are in the curriculum? Why should someone, let's talk, whether it's a tribal health worker, maybe they work in a tribal clinic, maybe it's someone who's on a tribal health council, and they're saying, you know what, we have some challenges in our community, or maybe some of the folks, maybe it's an urban area, maybe it's a reservation where there may be distance issues with access to care, food security issues. Tell us about what else we can get in this curriculum.
Yeah, so the last thing you mentioned was the first thing on my mind, food security. Mm-hmm. That's a huge issue, because you may have access to enough calories, but is it really enriching your blood, your immune system, enhancing your overall health? And so we know one of the things that is going to do that best is a wide, colorful array of fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. which is so often inaccessible, whether it's physically inaccessible because you're in a food desert, or economically inaccessible because you just can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so really helping people start a plan to have a small garden, whether it's in an urban area, you can do it in little containers. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the quantity of food that you can grow. And for example, our plan, it's a simple area where in a 5 meter by 5 meter area, you can grow an absolute abundance of food if it's done well. Mm-hmm. And so in our farming aspects of our curriculum, we really teach about compost and mulch, and we have a rainbow garden plan, so you can get that colorful array of fruits and vegetables available to you.
So we want to come back to the water issue, because here, when people talk about pure water, a lot of people think, well, I got to get an expensive distiller, or I've got to get a reverse osmosis system for my home. And, you know, these may be investments that cost hundreds of dollars. Someone in, West Africa or some other, you know, remote tribe in the Philippines, that's not likely to be an option. What kind of ways can people ensure that they're getting good quality water?
Awesome question. First, I just want to mention quantity of water.
Okay, please.
Adults need to be drinking between 2 to 3 liters of water every day. So you think usually those horrible sodas, which I don't even like to even talk about the bottle size, because I don't want anyone drinking sodas. That's a 2 liter usually they sell it at. So 2 to 3 liters per day are quite essential. And then getting the quality water, you know, if your well or your system is not producing the type of water that you need, although I will say in the United States, most municipal waters, I trust them. People spend a lot of money buying bottled water, and I personally don't think that's a good use of the water.
Okay.
Of your money, sorry. But if you are not getting good quality water, there are simple ways that you can do that. And we have a lesson in our book called Water Purification. And we even show how to get, you know, muddy swamp water, which sadly there's 2 billion people on the planet that don't have access to clean water at all. And you can take it through the steps of sedimentation, filtration. And then there's a couple of substances. The one I would recommend for a North American context is a powder called alum, A-L-U-M.
Uh-huh.
And it's what they use actually at the water treatment plants.
Interesting.
And it's also known as potassium aluminum sulfate, which sounds terrible. But it's basically just a mineral that is put into the water, and it will basically grab any debris or contaminant and settle it out. And so people can just add a little bit of alum, shake it up for a minute, and then wait for a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
And this alum will settle out any particulates that are in the water that are contaminated and make that water safe to drink. We also encourage, often in many countries, they're encouraged to boil the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when firewood is a problem or fuel is expensive, we teach also solar pasteurization. So you can actually take water bottles and set them out in the sunlight on either black surface or a reflective surface. And depending on how strong the sun is that day, if it's out there for 6 to 8 hours, that water is also safe then to drink.
Wow. These are some remarkable ideas.
You know, and you think, oh, well, I have a water tap, no problem. But think about the floods. Think about the power outages. Think about all these things that are happening even in the United States or in Canada, and you never know, you know? So this is preparation for even disaster emergency as well.
Amazing stuff. I mean, you've definitely increased my motivation to get to farmstew.org. Choi, thank you so much for all that you're doing and all that you've shared.
Thank you. It's a privilege, and I pray that it could be a blessing to your listeners.
We do have to step away just briefly. We've got a final segment coming up. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned. One more segment. You don't want to miss it on today's edition.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio. You know, here when we're doing things on the fly in a live venue, sometimes it's hard to know who can stay by and who we need to line up for our next segment. I was reluctant to on air, if you will, even though it's pre-recorded, to ask Joy to stay by, feeling that if I did, she'd feel constrained. But she graciously has agreed to stay by because I don't know if you're like me, I'm wanting to learn more about the FarmStew curriculum, and I do want to get on the website, farmstew.org. But Joy, we talked about some broad-reaching things. You're trying to help people have abundant health. For those that are just joining us, you're Joy Kaufman, Master's in Public Health. You are the founder, the executive director of FarmStew. Quick 30-second review. What is FarmStew all about? And then we'll talk about some more practical aspects.
Yes, FarmStew is a recipe for abundant life. And I have not said yet, but it's inspired by Jesus, who says he wants all people to have an abundant life. And that's recorded in John 10:10.
Okay, I love the vision. I love the vision. Whether someone relates to Jesus or not, it's hard to argue with anyone wanting to give you an abundant life.
Exactly.
Okay, so one of the things we haven't talked about, we've talked a bit about nutrition. We've talked even about water filtration. I'm fascinated by that. Those of you that can't see the manual, Joy has in front of, in this FarmStew manual, ways that you can build a filter out of simple things So if you're in some kind of a crisis situation or difficult situation, you can get by with water, even if the water options seem very limited. In the desert with no well, you're going to be challenged. But as long as there's some source of water, you can purify it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And we talked about enterprise. But the other element that I think a lot of people miss when it comes to health programs is they think physical health, but they don't think mental and social health. Of course, people in Indian country, they never separated those things. But in our, quote, Western mindset, we often do that. Why is this social and emotional and mental health component so important?
Yeah, so I'll just pause and tell a little bit about my personal story.
Please.
As it comes to mental health. I come from a family where I have three siblings, and both my siblings actually have some pretty serious mental health challenges.
Wow.
And about 12 years ago, I started experiencing my own. Mm. I had a very intense bout with anxiety, depression, insomnia, like just racing thoughts. And it was a very hard time for me. A lot going on, a lot of transitions. You know, hindsight, I can think of explanations for things. But at the time, I had just no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really upsetting. And I was really just crying out and asking God, because that's who I ask these types of questions to, you know, what I could do. And honestly, I felt like quite silence for about 5 or 6 months.
Wow.
And then finally, I had been reading a lot of things about this, what some people call an Adventist health message. And I decided to like run an experiment on myself.
Okay.
And I did that, and I did the practices that are now contained within Farm Stew, and it worked
okay.
on me.
So basically, you didn't just read a book and put this stuff in a manual. You actually tried this personally, and you found it was effective.
Exactly. And
so what all is in this component?
Well, two letters we haven't talked about yet are attitude and also temperance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the attitude when you're not feeling well mentally is very hard to, you know, just have somebody come say, oh, change your attitude. You just want to slap them, you know, like, because it doesn't work that easily. But, you know, we really do have some power in our minds. There's this part of our brain called the frontal lobe, and it's the power of choice is in that part of our brain. And so doing things through what we call temperance, which is an old-fashioned word. Most people think temper, you don't lose your temper. No, it's really about self-control and about making choices about the substances you would put into your body that would impact your mind, things that might create addictions or mood alterations, such that you can't have that clarity of thought and maybe don't feel like you have control. And so that was really my first step, is saying to myself, okay, Joy, the addictive patterns that I'm in, you know, I was in the sort of American concept of you start every day with coffee and end every day with a glass of wine. And I had just fallen into that pattern for a year or two. And I just found that that was not working for me, even though I didn't know that's why. But I did this experiment on myself and I said, I'm going cold turkey on both those things. And honestly, typically when you go off caffeine, or some people even alcohol, I guess, but you would have like an extreme headache, withdrawal headache.
Quite common.
Yeah. And for some amazing reason at that time, I did not have that headache. And I thought, man, if I got off those substances without having that headache, there must be some divine power working with me in this. So I'm not going to go back. And I think that was one important step in this journey towards my own health and well-being. And oh, boy, am I grateful. Plus, I save a lot of money, you know?
For sure. And this is all before you developed Farm Stew. This was leading up into this whole comprehensive program.
Yes, this was several years before I ever went to Uganda, before I feel like the acronym was given to me as a gift and a gift to share with the world. And yeah, so I tried it on myself, and then I started looking around and I started thinking, okay, there's ways of talking about this message, but often it required some pretty significant income for people. The way it was being implemented, it just seemed like it was kind of for those that have, but it wasn't for people that were just, you know, kind of struggling to make ends meet. You know, you can tell somebody, eat a healthy diet. Well, there's 3 billion people on the planet that actually cannot afford a healthy diet.
Wow.
So unless they learn to grow it, unless they learn to go to the bottom shelf in the grocery store and actually buy the dried beans and the bag of rice and learn how to cook with the simple natural ingredients, they can't necessarily afford to go buy, you know, cashew pesto and all these fancy foods that sometimes we make and act like that's the only way to good health, you know?
No, this is great. And so all these practical things are in the manual.
Yes, absolutely. So we have, under attitude, we have a whole lesson about lifestyle choices and how, honestly, the things that often make people think they're sort of getting ahead in life, you know, they've arrived if they can afford to drink the Coca-Cola or drink, you know, smoke some fancy kind of cigarette or whatever, they feel like they've arrived. But in fact, that is a deception that is actually stealing, killing, and destroying their life, not giving them the abundant life that I hope they have. And more importantly, in my perspective, that Jesus hopes they have. So we also talk about protecting your brain from depression, some of the lifestyle choices people can make around that, getting enough exercise, fresh air, sunshine, even simple things like flax seeds, which need to be ground quite quickly before you eat them, because the essential fatty acids that are in them that are so critical to brain health are actually also very volatile, so they can go rancid very quickly. So just simple things like about how to get those essential fatty acids for your brain to work well. And then, like I did, avoiding the toxins and toxic substances that we take in, whether it's through food dyes or artificial flavors or cigarettes or alcohol, that really do impact the brain's health and the capacity to have abundance.
Now, I know you and I have spoken off air about a special module or segment in this realm dealing with forgiveness. Why is that such a big issue as you deal with populations throughout the world?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, the lack of forgiveness in this world is honestly, when I go into areas, and particularly some of the countries in Africa that are just plagued by warfare and violence and even cattle raiding where people are going and stealing each other's cows or whatnot. I mean, it's all going back to lack of forgiveness and lack of just treating others as you would want them to be treated. And really, unforgiveness, they say it's like taking a poison and hoping the other person would die. You actually are holding into yourself that desire for revenge or that desire to reject someone or to hold that bitter resentment. And all of that is actually bad for your health. Generally, the other person doesn't even know what's going on.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So it's quite damaging. And so we go through practical steps of just realizing the person who wronged you also is a human being. They're flawed, surely, but they're just human. And developing in yourself some type of compassion and empathy, that doesn't mean you want to go be best friends by any means.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean you have to trust them. And then we go through the story of Joseph, a character in the Bible who had so many wrong things done to him. And yet, he saved lives because of his forgiveness.
No, that's tremendous. Our time has just about slipped away. This entire manual, is it available for purchase? Can you download it? How does someone access that?
Yes, so you can purchase the physical copy. Our phone number is on the internet there at farmstew.org. You can also call 815-200-4925 is our phone number. And we'd be happy to send you out a copy. But also the e-learning is a great way to get it online, and we're excited to share. We look forward to working with tribal leaders throughout this country to implement this program in your area.
Joy, thank you so very much.
Thank you, and God bless you and all your listeners.
Well, that's a great note to close on. Thank you all for joining us for today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. As always, I'm Dr. DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.